Okay, have you ready?
Good morning. I sound like Froggy today, so I apologize. I call the San Francisco Department of Disability and Aging Services Commission meeting of Wednesday, May 7th, to order. I'm the DOS Commission President, Janet Spears. The commission is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of the Brown Act. As noted in the agenda, members of the public may observe the meeting via SFGov TV and SFGov TV Channel 78, and they may offer public comment by calling the published public comment phone number. I'd like to welcome the members of the public and staff who are watching us on SFGov TV. To eliminate background interference, all panelists and presenters that are presenting via WebEx are asked to mute themselves when not speaking or waiting to present. The San Francisco HSA DOS Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homelands of the Ramaytus and Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula, as the indigenous stewards of this land, and in accordance with their traditions. The Ramaytus and Ohlone have never ceded, lost, or forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homelands. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytus and Ohlone community and by offering their sovereign rights as First People. Secretary, please take the roll.
Thank you, and good morning, President Spears. Commissioners, please respond with present when I call your name. President Janet Y. Spears.
Present.
Vice President Nelson Lum.
Present.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner.
Present.
Commissioner Wanda Jung.
Present.
Commissioner Martha Knutson.
Present.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar is an excused absence this morning. Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington.
Present.
And DOS Deputy Director Cindy Kaufman.
Present.
Thanks, President Spears. We have a quorum. Commissioners, the next item three, is communications. We'd like to provide further instructions for the public comment process. Public comment will be available on each item on this agenda and during general public comment. Both Channel 78 and sfgovtv.org are streaming the number across the screen. Each speaker will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Comments or opportunities to speak during the public comment period are available via phone call. During each public comment period, viewers and callers will be instructed to call 1-415-655-0001, access code 2662-486-3037, star, and then pound again. When connected, you will meet the meeting discussions, but you will be muted and in listening mode only. When your item of interest comes up, dial star 3 to be added to the speaker line. Best practices are to call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and you'll be informed by the moderator when you have 30 seconds left. After 30 seconds, you'll be muted and placed back in listening mode. Alternatively, public comment can be submitted by email to ravi.derbige@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it'll be forwarded to the commission and will be included as part of the official docket. Are there any other communications from the DOS commission members? Okay, we can move to the next item.
Commissioners, your next item is agenda item 4, approving the minutes of April 2nd, 2025. DOS Commission minutes. Are there any comments or questions regarding the April 2nd, 2025 DOS minutes? Okay. Secretary, do we have anyone that wishes from the public who wishes to make a comment?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Moderator, do we have anyone in the queue that would like to comment? There are no callers in the queue. Thank you very much.
Hearing for no further requests to speak on the item, I'm looking for a motion to approve the Wednesday, February.
So moved.
We moved and second. Mr. Secretary, please take a roll call vote.
President Jenna Y. Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Jung, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Commissioners, your next item is item 5, the Executive Director Report that will be presented by Deputy Director Cindy Kaufman.
My heart goes out to your poor voice, so thank you, Commissioner. So as always, I have a few local updates, very little state, and some federal updates. So starting with Director Dierman participated in the Social Security Day of Action back on April 15th with Speaker Emeritus Pelosi. And Director Dierman was part of a panel who spoke, and from what I understand, it was a great turnout for the event. One of the things that I was struck by is when Director Dierman had a great example of the importance of safety net services, and she compared watching people piece together supports like a game of Jenga, giant Jenga, and you take away a supportive block and everything comes tumbling down. And I thought it was just a great visual of the kinds of supports that we have. She also participated as part of her work with the Palliative Care Work Group, the National Healthcare Decisions Day at Unlock 33 Street Senior Center on, it was April 16th. She had a very busy week. And this has become an annual event for advanced care planning. And it provides resources and tools for people to start conversations about advanced healthcare and what they want. It's the conversations with family, with healthcare providers. And if there is anyone here who has not started those conversations, we're happy to share the toolkit. You do not have to wait until next April. We also just recently, as of yesterday, had an update to the DOS website with the addition of the Office on Disability and Accessibility. And I have to do a shout out to Angela, who is HSA's web content strategist. She migrated everything from the old, not everything, I take that back, and critical things from the old website onto the new one, and it looks great. So I do recommend everybody check out the new website. I also think that Director Dierman mentioned the advocacy efforts that the Office on Disability and Accessibility had put forward around improvements to Holiday Plaza, and it was a great effort. And it is the idea is improving accessibility from transportation all the way up to street level. Right now, there is an elevator that is mostly broken for the last 20 years, and the idea is replacing it with this beautiful circular ramp. And so I'm happy to report that Capital Planning has approved this plan, that it scored at the top of the public spaces category. It now moves into the Board of Supervisors. The lead on this will be the Department of Public Works, with working in partnership with Office on Disability and Accessibility. So next, it does go to the Board of Supervisors. There will be ample opportunity for community input. But that was a very exciting effort. So now, yay is right. So it also will just improve the looks and things. So, okay, I digress. So now on to budget updates. So locally, we are still working on budgets. The mayor will make his final decision by June 1st. We so far have had to make some cuts to contracts with providers, totaling about $1.5 million. We also went back and looked at current savings to find an additional almost $1 million in currently uncommitted dollars to put back into the budget. So we continue to try and help with the city's deficits. We will hear on the state level, we will hear from the governor by May 14th for the May revise. His initial budget was pretty rosy, but that was before the fires, and that was before a lot of the news and proposals from the federal government. So we will see by May 14th what the state budget looks like, which could also impact us. Then moving on to federal news, some of the federal impacts that are being proposed that we've heard about so far include the elimination of the Administration for Community Living, which is part of Health and Human Services. It has oversight of the Older Americans Act programs. So we learned that the administration plans to move, they're separating some of the Older Americans Act programs with one set of services, which is the meals programs, moving over to the Administration for Children and Families. But then they will cast the rest of the Older Americans Act activities to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which none of us in the field think is a great fit. Breaking apart these programs to different agencies, what happens is it starts to impact the efficiency and the effectiveness of having them all under one roof. And so it has been very successful year to date. And so the act is, I think the Americans Act, Older Americans Act is like 60 years old at this point. So there is some hope that the decision will be reconsidered and then reunify all of the programs under the ACF. They are more social service focused, which seems to be a better fit than the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, which is Medicare and Medicaid, right? It is a monster agency over health services. So in addition, the leaked budget also made it clear that the administration will be proposing to zero out several Older Americans Act programs. So in addition to the leaked budget, the president also released his skinny budget, which I had never heard that term before, but apparently it is used in the president's first year as the administration is trying to develop a budget that reflects priorities. So they need more time to develop that. So they want to start the conversation with Congress. So they release this high-level documents to give them a sense of the direction they are looking to go. In the skinny budget, the president proposed a 22.7% overall cut to non-defense discretionary funding. Say that rapidly three times, and then raising the defense spending by 13%. Now, the NDD funding includes the Older Americans Act. It also includes the state health insurance assistance programs known as SHIPs. In California, it's our HICAP program, which is health insurance counseling and advocacy program. And in addition, it is also includes low-income home energy assistance programs. And a host of other government efforts that support the populations that we serve. So this is outside of the mandatory funding programs like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. So these are the non-discretionary ones. So having said all of this, it's important to remember that the president's budget is not an actual appropriations bill. Congress has to agree to implement the changes through their appropriations process, which is just now getting started. I heard the goal is to have it finalized by Memorial Day, which feels like a pretty heavy lift. I also heard that they are putting forward to include significant cuts to Medicaid. So many states have a large Medicaid population. So we'll see how that plays out throughout Congress. So more to come. So all of this could have impacts on us locally, and it's further complicated by our deficits in our own local budget. Sometimes we can offset cuts in other areas. That'll be really difficult to do in this budget climate so far. So we will see where all of this plays out in the next month or so. I want to add there are many, many, many advocacy efforts that are happening at the federal and state levels. We can push out information and we get templates of letters to write and things like that. We are happy to push those out as well. We are working with all of our allies. At this point in time, everything I've just said is pure speculation. So it's not really over until it's over. So having all of this, I need to end on a happier note than budget woes. So a couple of announcements for celebrations. May 6th through the 12th is National Nurses Week. A shout out to our small but very mighty team of nurses. And also May is Older Americans Act, Older Americans Month and Older Californians Month. And so I am plagiarizing and stealing a statement from the executive director of the California Department of Aging just because it's struck such a positive chord for me. And what she said is we need to pause and recognize the everyday efforts that shape how aging is experienced across California, and I will say across the country. It's time to reflect on the values that guide the work: dignity, inclusion, connection, and the belief that growing older brings new experiences and meaning. And with that better note, that is my report for today. Happy to answer any questions that I can answer.
Thanks for the comprehensive reports. I don't have a question, but yes, definitely let us know what calls. Many people are now making phone calls to congressmen that they never did before, and they're getting used to doing it on a daily basis. So anything that you can send to us, and if it's from an activist, you know, whatever's appropriate, but if it's got a script, you know, keep it. But anything like that, please, please feel free to forward, and then we can forward, and we can, people are just in the habit now, so we could get that those words out to make calls.
Happy to do that. Okay. I also was part of a advocacy conversation around, somebody said, can we send it to other bodies? And the reality of it is, if it's coming from you here in the Bay Area to somebody that doesn't represent you,
I know
they don't. But yeah, if you have friends and family, share the templates with them, because okay, their voice does matter as well. So thank you, Commissioner. Happy to send out those
right,
letters.
And I templates. Found that even calling, we may think it's nothing to call our, because they represent our interests in both California, but it has made a huge difference in terms of what they prioritize. So please, you know, and we'll do, I'm sure all of us will do our part to get it out there and make sure people make calls. So,
have
yeah,
to do it.
Again, I.
Please continue.
So I've done a lot of advocacy work specifically with Speaker Pelosi, both in a partisan and non-partisan role. And what she has said about contacting her office or Office of Allies is that she just meets with as many people that they can point to, you know, so they can say, you know, 20,000 people called me or whatever, so that they can have the numbers. And so when they go to Congress, they have that. And also what I've been hearing is symptoms of Medicaid that it made more impact, like people are able to work as opposed to people, like disabled people who are seen as not able to work, and seniors who are seen as not able to work. Now that's a stereotype, but that's kind of what I've heard.
Thank you, Commissioner. That is, those are also very good points. I know for Medicaid, they're trying to tease out exactly where that lands. So we will also share that out. And you are right, numbers do matter. They do count all of the letters and the calls coming in. So thank you.
Any other questions? I have one just regarding the local budget. Do you anticipate there'll be additional cuts within the DOS budget, and the cut that you mentioned about 1.5, do you have an idea of what programs those are going to affect?
Yes. So in answer to the first question, we are still working through things. It is honestly an active conversation back and forth with lots of questions. And also questions and presenting impacts of what could happen. So in the cuts that have happened, the community has been notified already, so they are aware of it. And we did try really hard to take a look at the approach to it. Was around what are our core services, what are, you know, what falls under the Older Americans Act as an area agency on aging. We also looked at if there was historically any underspending. By historically, we looked back, you know, a few years to see if it was, as opposed to just 1 year, so it felt less like a cut and more like a this is what you've been spending in the current budget. So that was the lens we went in with. So but the CBOs have been notified.
Thank you. Okay.
Ready for next item? Okay, commissioners, item six is the DOS employee recognition. Executive Director Dearman, President Spears, and the DOS Commission will honor the DOS May 2025 Employee of the Month, Arturo Ramirez, who is a senior eligibility worker with the DOS Eligibility Unit at the DOS Hub.
Okay, I'm going to read a few things. This is one of my favorite part. It's all our favorite part. Who am I kidding? But I am going to read what was written because staff do take the time to just call out the wonderful things why folks are getting an award. So here goes. In celebration of his unwavering dedication, collaborative spirit, and outstanding work ethic, the DOS Benefits and Resources Hub is proud to recognize Arturo Ramirez as the DOS May 2025 Employee of the Month. Arturo has served as a senior eligibility worker in the DOS Eligibility Unit since 2015. Throughout his tenure, he has consistently exemplified a strong commitment to excellence by providing outstanding service to clients and being a reliable and supportive colleague. Arturo plays a critical role in processing monthly Medi-Cal discontinuance lists for IHSS clients and ensures timely, accurate documentation that keeps cases moving efficiently. His leadership in a staff-led work group developing journal note templates has directly improved team productivity and workflow. Arturo's positive attitude, reliability, and genuine care for the clients he serves has made a lasting impact. He is not only a go-to resource for his coworkers, thanks to his deep knowledge of Medi-Cal and CalFresh, but also an active contributor to employee-focused initiatives that help build a stronger, more connected workplace. His supervisor commends Arturo's professionalism, thoroughness, and ability to manage complex assignments such as the yellow banner list and Craig versus Bonta pending cases with remarkable accuracy. He consistently completes eligibility determinations in compliance with policy and approaches his work with care, precision, and autonomy. Arturo exemplifies what it means to be a dependable team player, often resolving issues independently while maintaining clear communication with leadership. Arturo's exceptional attendance, willingness to assist others, and steadfast commitment to the mission of DOS make him an invaluable part of the Hub. We are honored to recognize him with this well-deserved award. Please join us in congratulating Arturo Ramirez on his outstanding achievement. You get to say a few words if you want.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you for the award and the recognition. Means a lot. but I truly want to just thank the team at the DOS Hub. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do my job. We all work so well together. And a special shout out to my first coworker that I met at DOS was Caroline. She's taught me everything I know. Like I told her, I share this award with her. Because truly, I mean, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. And also, big shout out to my direct supervisor for giving me the space to flourish and showing me how to care for what I do and how to fix the public. And thank you to all the seniors in San Francisco for always being so kind, who always just need a helping hand and an ear to listen to. Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah.
think it's flat.
All right, commissioners, item seven, the next item is item seven, is the Advisory Council TAC report presented by Advisory Council President Alan Cooper.
Good morning, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, good. There was no Advisory Council meeting last month because of a lack of a quorum due to a number of competing events. However, there was a TAC meeting. For those who, maybe everybody knows what TAC is, but I didn't until I got dumped into it. It's the AAA's Area Aging Association Advisory Council Group, in which a representative of each advisory council, usually either the president or occasionally a commissioner, attends a quarterly meeting to learn about what's going on in other areas. This meeting was on April 17th, and there were two major presentations. The first was on the special problems of aging areas with large rural populations. The SCAN Foundation has given a grant to help these agencies address this by assisting in planning, and San Francisco is not considered a rural agency, so we didn't get any money. But the others did, and they're working, several others, and they have formed consortiums to address their special problems, particularly around things like facilities coordination, IHSS housing, and healthcare. The second presentation, and these presentations go on for about an hour, was given by Hagar Beekman, who's an attorney with the Alameda Office of Justice and Aging. And Justice and Aging is an advocacy group that looks at the legal problems facing seniors and makes policy recommendations, writes legislation, or helps write legislation. And I think it's a really great group. And Hagar focused on what some of what Cindy was talking about, potential cuts to Medicaid, and how this is evolving. Just to summarize briefly, there are about 2.3 million seniors and those with disabilities in California who get Medicaid, along with 1.7 people who get what in the trade is called MediMedi, or Medicaid and Medi-Cal. And that provides very comprehensive services. Of these, 900,000 receive IHSS, so they're direct clients of DAS. And so it will have a big effect if anything changes. The state gets about $112 billion annually for these services. This covers about 40 to 50% of the services actually for the program. The state provides the rest and covers a number of services not necessarily not mandated by the federal program, such as vision, dental, and a number of other things. As has been widely reported, Medicaid as a whole, and looking at it, is part of a federal effort. And on the what I wrote, I left a zero out. It's $880 billion over 10 years that they're looking to cut, which means about probably for the overall about $88 billion in the first year, maybe $80 billion. And California is about 10% of Medicaid. It's a little less than it puts in. So we're looking at about a potential $8 billion cut in the state. The specifics of how this will be done is seen in the so-called giant, what did he call it, the great giant bill, which is now in markup. That bill was supposed to be passed at the end of February, so it's clearly not riding along well, and the notion that it'll be done by the end of this month is iffy. It's being looked at by Energy, Commerce, and Finance committees. pass the bill with a majority vote, the Senate will have to go through reconciliation, which may involve some compromises because it's a complex process. The House and the Senate have to have a virtually identical bill, and then it has to be ruled on by the parliamentarian who they've threatened to fire if she doesn't approve it. The things being looked at, potentially, according to Justin Aging, are block grants, just no longer giving it on a case-by-case basis, but by giving it one lump sum to each state and let them figure out what to do, changing the per capita reimbursement rates, or cutting the federal medical assistant percentage. I forgot what that is, but it's important. Or repealing regulations, altering minimum requirements have been proposed. And all of these will have a major impact on California, obviously. The largest, as I mentioned, from our point of view at DAS, may be in-home support services. She outlined a series of strategies for those opposed to this, if there are any around here. And I'm happy to share those and her slides. And her slide presentation is really great. And I've shared it with a number of other people. So if you ask Ravi or email at adc@stanford.edu, I will happily send it to you. Second thing is, in 2 weeks, at this month's DAS Advisory Council meeting, I'm pleased to announce that yesterday Hagar is going to be away. But one of her colleagues who covers legislation in California is going to speak at our advisory council and focus on both Medicare and what was formerly the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is now, as you all know, defunct. So that should be an exciting meeting. We will have more, she will have more information on the markup bill. So anybody who wants to tune in, you can be a member of the public.
Just a minor correction, Alan, that Americans with Disabilities Act is not defunct. It is very much in place and celebrating its 35th anniversary. So,
yeah. Well, the way it stands is it has not been renewed.
Right. The Older Americans Act has not been renewed.
And it expired in December.
Yeah, the Older Americans Act, not the ADA.
But the
right
services have not changed. They're under the ACL, which has been disbanded.
Right.
So it is definitely in peril. When it came up before the Democratic-controlled Senate, it was passed almost unanimously. But the House, under its current leadership, declined to take it up last year and has made no effort. And both will have to take it up again this year. And they're both under, as you know, control of Republicans who may or may not be interested. Happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, are there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you for this report.
Commissioners, item 8 is the case report presented by Fiona Henze via WebEx.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. It is still it is still me before you. I am still looking for a co-chair of CASE, and so you will be seeing me this month, and my assumption would be at least next month. Regardless, happy to chat with you as always. I unfortunately begin my report with news that we have lost yet another board member. Stephen Miner has left his position with CTN. He was our program committee lead, so we thank him for his service and wish him well in his next endeavors. Hopefully he'll stay connected to CASE, and I will be able to announce that. I'll be able to announce that next month, but I'll be able to give you more details on that. But we thank him for his service on the board. Before I go to programmatic, speakers real quick. I will say that I was just checking out the new DOS website, and it is indeed a very nice, it's got a very nice look and feel to it, and it's much improved. It's much improved for the Office of Disability and Accessibility as compared to their old website, in my opinion. So shout out to the team that put that together. Anyway, programmatically for CASE, we had the Office of Financial Empowerment come and speak. This is a San Francisco program under the Treasurer and Tax Collector that provides financial counseling and other services to San Franciscans at no charge. In fact, their services are work ordered to DOS under a few contracts with the LGBT Center, and so providers can send our clients there for financial counseling and really anywhere. So they gave us a great overview of those services, and I recommend anyone who's listening in the public who hasn't had a chance to look at their services, they'd be worth it a look. At our next meeting, we have a dental clinician who's going to come and talk about expanding his practice to seniors and folks with disabilities, so we're looking forward to that. And in June, we hope to have a service provider work group meeting with DOS, and I believe also the contractor for the Dignity Fund Needs Assessment. We're still working on a location for a hybrid meeting for that, but you'll see that come out on the Meta Fund grant. I'm pleased to report that we're very close to hiring. We're completing the final paperwork for hiring our strategic planner, who will do a strategic plan that is our deliverable for the end of year one of the grant. So we're very excited to have the strategic planner on board. We are in interviews for the strategic planner or the project manager as we speak. So hopefully I'll be able to announce that at next month's meeting. And we're still trying to figure out what to do with the admin assistant position, but we're well on our way, and I'm pleased that this is the first month that I'm actually able to report some progress to you on that. One thing that's not in the written report that I gave you, and I apologize, Cindy, that concludes my report. I'm more than happy to take any questions.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? Thank you, Ms. Hensley, for your report.
I'm sorry, Commissioner President, for your very raspy voice this morning. I hope you drink some tea after this meeting.
Yes, me too. You're up, Robbie.
All right, commissioners, item 9 is general public comment, an opportunity for members of the public to address the commission on matters that are not on today's calendar. Are there any members of the public that would like to address the commission today? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much. All right, commissioners, item 10 is old business. Commissioners, please indicate by raising your hand if there's any old business that you'd like to discuss. Okay, we can move to item 11.
Okay, we will get through this. Commissioners, the next agenda item is item 11, new business. Items 11A through 11D are action items that require a vote by the commission. Our first item is item 11A, requesting authorization to enter into a new grant agreement with Self-Help for the Elderly for the provision of short-term home care for older adults, personal care, chores, and homemaker services during the period of July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2029 in the amount of $842,772 plus a 10% contingency for a total amount not to exceed $927,049. Presented by Zin Quigley.
Good morning, President Spears, Commissioners, and Deputy Director Kaufman. I am Ziquing Li, Program Analyst with Office of Community Partnerships at DAS. I request your authorization to enter into a new grant agreement with Self-Help for the Elderly for the provision of short-term home care services for older adults. This program provides essential support through three types of services: chore, homemaker, and personal care. These services help older adults with functional limitations remain safe, healthy, and independent in their own homes. Distinct from the state's in-home supportive services program, or IHSS, this short-term home care program is designed to serve people who are not receiving IHSS and can't afford private caregivers. It also supports those who have applied for IHSS but have urgent needs while waiting for IHSS to begin. The services usually step in after a hospital discharge or during other times of transition, helping stabilize the individual and prevent further decline. Here's a quick breakdown of the services. Chore services cover heavy household tasks like yard work, sidewalk cleaning, home maintenance, and deep cleaning. Homemaker services support lighter tasks such as meal preparation, shopping, managing bills, using the telephone, and light cleaning. Personal care services assist with activities of daily living, such as eating, dressing, bathing, toileting, and grooming, either through hands-on help or supervision. The grantee, Self-Help for the Elderly, works closely with hospitals, rehab centers, and other agencies to start services timely once a referral is received. Referrals can come from many sources, such as DAS Benefits and Resources Hub, Adult Protective Services, IHSS, hospitals, community-based organizations, public housing, senior centers, and even directly from clients or their families. The grantee is responsible for hiring and training care workers, conducting client intakes and needs assessment, determining service hours, coordinating scheduling and client disenrollment process. In short, this program fills a critical gap for our older adults, helping them remain safely at home when they are most vulnerable. Thank you for your consideration. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, do you have any questions?
Just really quick. I'm not sure it was precisely in here, but in general or generally, a person who would qualify for this would be probably on Medi-Cal. So we can sort of say, would it be fair to say they're usually at the income level of someone that qualifies for Medi-Cal? Is that how, or is there a particular way that their eligibility is determined?
Yeah. So since this program is funded by
Medicaid, I meant, not whatever. Go, please go ahead. I think you understood what I meant. Yeah.
All right. This program is funded by Title III-B of Older Americans Act. Mm-hmm. So the eligibility aligns with the Title III-B.
Okay.
And this is not a means-tested program.
Okay.
So people with Medi-Cal can apply, and people with a little bit higher income can also apply. So it's not means-tested.
Okay, that answers it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Secretary, are there any comments from the
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11A? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on agenda item 11A. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this item, I'm looking for a motion to approve item 11A.
I move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Jenna Y. Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, our next item is item 11B, requesting authorization to enter into a new grant with self-help for the elderly for the provision of nutrition services for older adults and adults with disability for the period July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2029 in the amount of $12,573,404 plus a 10% contingency for a total amount not to exceed $13,830,744 presented by Tiffany Kearney.
Good morning, Commissioners, President Spears, Deputy Director Kaufman. As mentioned, my name is Tiffany Kearney. I'm the lead nutritionist for DOS. I'm here today to request your approval for three new grant agreements with Self-Help for the Elderly to continue providing critical nutrition services for older adults and adults with disabilities in our community. These grants will replace existing agreements that are set to expire on June 30th. In December, the department issued an RFP to secure new grants for congregate nutrition services. Self-Help participated in this competitive bidding process and was awarded the three new grants before you today. Self-Help is a trusted, long-standing partner in our network of community-based organizations working to address food insecurity and promote health and wellness among our aging and disabled populations. With more than 50 years of experience providing nutrition support in San Francisco, beginning with their first congregate meal program in Chinatown in 1974, they now provide nutrition services at 11 congregate meal sites and 4 restaurant sites, operating in 7 districts across the city. Their nutrition services are not only culturally responsive, offering Chinese cuisine daily, but also flexible. The CHAMPS program allows eligible participants to dine at participating restaurants, offering greater autonomy, multiple meal choice, and social engagement, all while meeting the same high nutrition standards of a traditional congregate meal program. This program is especially valuable because CHAMP sites are strategically located in districts where demand for nutrition support is higher, but there are fewer traditional meal sites. As a state-designated area on aging, DOS administers core services under the Older Americans Act. Nutrition is one of the most critical services we offer. Older adults and people with disabilities often face significant barriers to accessing nutritious food. Fixed incomes, limited mobility, and rising health care costs all contribute to food insecurity and increased health risk. Congregate nutrition services help reduce those risks by providing not only healthy meals, but also nutrition education, risk screening, and meaningful opportunities for connection, essential components for aging with dignity. All meals meet nutritional standards, including the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. Both the traditional and CHAMPS models are supported by rigorous nutrition compliance and quality assurance process, which includes quarterly monitorings of food service operations to ensure food safety and adherence to program standards. Over the past 3 years, self-help has consistently met or exceeded contract deliverables and has remained in full compliance. In terms of consumer satisfaction, the results speak for themselves. 95% of traditional congregate meal participants rated the meals as excellent or good. 85% of CHAPS participants gave similar high ratings. 91% reported eating more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And 96% felt less worried about having enough food. Almost all congregate meal participants said they feel more connected to their community and welcomed by program staff. These programs are vital to our efforts to combat food insecurity, reduce isolation, and promote well-being for older adults and people with disabilities. Thank you for your time and consideration. I respectfully request your approval of these three grant agreements with self-help and will do my best to answer any questions you have at this time.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? Sure, please.
Hi, Ms. Kearney. I just have some minor questions. In terms of the 11 sites that you mentioned where the congregate meal services are provided, do just for my own just information, do the clients have the options of either take away or to eat there, or are they required to eat on site?
So self-help is no longer offering to-go meals.
Okay.
Some of our providers do. Self-help is not one of them that does. So now they are strictly dine-in.
Dine-in, okay.
Yeah.
And then my other question is, how does one decide whether they're going to do the congregate meals or participate in the CHAMPS program?
They have their option. I mean, they can. It's an individual option. So clients have access to both. They're not restricted to one or the other. For CHAMPS in particular, they can sign up online through a website, or they can go into a self-help office. And because it's a special, we have gold cards for all of our programs, but the CHAMPS dining card is a separate card. But they can have both.
So it's absolutely up to the individual to make the decision.
Absolutely.
Whatever works best.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And some do both.
Okay. And recognizing this is a well-established program and very valuable and needed in the community, I'm just wondering, in terms of outreach, there probably still is a segment of population that needs to access food services and still aren't. I didn't notice any mention of any outreach that's being done by self-help for the meals program.
They outreach, it's kind of organic in the program because it's at all their community services. And also when folks, when folks call the hub, they're also provided with that information in terms, especially if they're looking for Chinese cuisine. But the hub also promotes that program. We have a listing of all of our meal sites in the community. So it's accessible through the hub as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Ms. Connie, make sure you sign up President Spears for this program.
What's that?
That was my comment.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Anyway, are there any comments from the public?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11B? Moderator, please open the phone line for anyone who wishes to comment on 11B, and we'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do you have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this item, I am looking for a motion to approve item 11B.
So moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Jenna Weiss-Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lim, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Our next item is item 11C, requesting authorization to enter into a new contract with the Merced 3 residential care for the provision of emergency residential care facility for the elderly bed placement during the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2029 in the amount of $810,300 plus a 10% contingency for a total amount not to exceed $891,330, presented by Ben Cestidos. Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners, Deputy Kaufman. My name is Ben Cestidos, and I work for Adult Protective Services because I believe in supporting vulnerable adults in need. We are seeking approval to enter into a 4-year contract with incumbent Merced 3 residential care for the provision of 3 beds in a residential care facility for the elderly for APS clients in need of short-term stabilization care. This most frequently reduces the impact of unsafe hospital discharges or temporarily removes the individual from an unsafe living situation. Vulnerable adults in San Francisco periodically need access to respite beds for acute short-term care to avoid life-threatening consequences. In many cases, that comes to Adult Protective Services and they have no way to access them. When an older adult is unsafely discharged from a hospital, self-neglecting, or been abused by someone and needs around-the-clock care, they often cannot advocate for themselves or navigate to short-term boarding care and or afford one. This last contract cycle, over a dozen APS clients were diverted from hospital emergency rooms, and in at least 5 instances would have been in life-threatening situations if this service were not in place. Further, looking at the fiscal years of this last contract cycle, these beds were occupied in a range from 100% to roughly 2/3 of the time. And this is an ideal, this is a sweet spot for APS, as it means that we have a good amount of usage, but also availability when the need arises. I hope I've been able to demonstrate the critical nature of this intervention, the consequences of the loss of this resource, and its alignment with the Commission purpose statement to maximize self-sufficiency, safety, health, and independence so residents can remain living in the community for as long as possible and maintain the highest quality of life. Thank you for your consideration as I seek approval for this new contract with Merced 3 Residential Care.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions regarding this contract? No questions from the commission. Mr. Secretary, will you check if there are any public comments?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on item C, 11C? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on item 11C. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further comments on this matter, I'm looking for a motion to approve item 11C.
I'll move to approve, and also, I know I was supposed to say this earlier, but it wasn't a question. I just wanted to say thank you for the report that you wrote. It was very helpful and had a lot of detail. And this is a complicated program, so I just wanted to say thank you for that. And I will also move to approve. So,
So it's been moved. I'm looking for a second.
I second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Jenna Y. Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knudsen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have unanimous vote.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Commissioners, our next item is item 11D, requesting authorization to modify the existing grant agreement with the Institute on Aging for the provision of Community Living Fund program during the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2027 in the additional amount of $14,327,796 plus a 10% contingency for a revised total not to exceed $27,630,868. Zinkui Lee will present this item.
Good morning again, everyone. I'm Zinkui Lee with Office of Community Partnerships. I request your authorization to modify an existing grant with Institute on Aging, or IOA. This modification includes an additional $3,886,314 in funding for the Community Living Fund Program, or CLFP, for the two fiscal years, 2025 through 2027. First, just a quick update. A couple mistakes have been corrected in the Appendix A1, page 12, section 9. Service objectives, bullet C, specifically the annual target number of clients receiving community support services has been corrected from 50 to 30. The target number of community transition services clients has been revised from 30 to 10. I will provide the updated document to Ravi after this meeting. The CLFP aims to reduce unnecessary institutionalization by serving two populations of focus. First, individuals currently residing in nursing facilities who are transitioning back to the community. And second, individuals living in the community who are at risk of institutionalization. The program is composed of four service components. First, the traditional CLFP services. Second, public guardian housing fund services. Third, enhanced care management. And fourth, community support services. The traditional CLFP component employs a two-pronged approach consisting of coordinated case management and purchase of services. With a similar model, the enhanced care management and community supports components are part of the CalLIM initiative. These services are funded through a contract between the San Francisco Health Plan and DAS. DAS then subcontracts with IOA to deliver these services through CLFP. The proposed additional funding will be used to expand the following areas. First, community support services component. This includes two types of services: community transition services to private residences and nursing facility transition or diversion to assisted living facilities. San Francisco Health Plan will partially reimburse DAS for providing these services, and the revenue received will be used to offset the county general fund expenditures. Second, we propose additional local funds to support the transition of six clients from the HomeSafe program to CLFP. The HomeSafe program is also administered by IOA under a separate contract with Adult Protective Services. That contract is funded by the state HomeSafe program, and the state funding is likely to be depleted by the end of this fiscal year. These six clients are currently residing in assisted living settings with rental subsidies or patches. They meet the CLFP eligibility, and the services they are receiving are appropriate for the traditional CLFP purchase of services framework. transitioning them to CLFP will ensure their continuity of care and stable community living. This is a brief overview, and I'm happy to provide more details if you have any questions. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Commissioners, are there any questions regarding this contract?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I just want to compliment you and thank you for structurally diagramming out this complex modification. I have to admit, I had a hard time figuring out the CTS and the NFT and the but anyway, your structural diagram really was very helpful, as well as the chart provided. So I just want to thank you for sorting that out for us.
We love this part.
Thank you, and I'm glad to hear that. I actually just executed the, just carry out the brilliant vision of our director, Mike Young.
No, you don't want to take the credit.
Okay. We don't believe that, but okay. Are there any comments from, comments or questions from the public?
Masterful explanation of acronyms.
Yes. Yes.
And I agree with the visual. I'm so visual, so when I saw this, I'm like, my heart leapt. And I want to say that I feel very good to see the pattern of support that we're giving to through all of these grants that we've looked at today, because these are the most vulnerable amongst us, and I feel that the best work we can do is to protect and provide a safety net for those who are the most vulnerable amongst us. So I am observing about the pattern, and I love the clarity of understanding how much is going on here, because there's so many moving parts to what you're doing, and you're making it very easy for us to access. So I'm thinking about Director Dearman's analogy to the Jenga, the big Jenga game, and that each of these is like a fundamental building block in the Jenga game, and it's so important for us to take each one individually and say they all work together to provide a comprehensive and a holistic safety net of support. So thank you for doing that, and your colleagues.
Thank you for your feedback.
Hearing no other comments from the commissioners, Mr. Secretary, are there any comments from the public?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11D? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comments on agenda item 11D. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this matter, I'm looking for a motion to approve item 11D.
So moved.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Jenna Y. Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knudsen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Commissioners, are there any announcements from the commission? Okay. Hearing no further requests or comments, I will adjourn this meeting.
Herculean effort.